Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Today we are going to Ohio to talk about the Mansfield killings. And our guest is the author of that book, Scott Fields. Thank you for being here, Scott.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So, Scott, let's talk about this. Mansfield killings, what an interesting story. How did you get involved in this story and start writing it?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I've written 15 novels, and most of the time I would get an idea pop in my head, and it would stay there for 2 years. I went ahead and wrote the book. But a lot of them would just disappear, so I didn't bother. But I was at a book signing where there was a whole bunch of people in a room, and they took a break, and somebody mentioned, I heard some people talking, and they mentioned something about something that happened in 1948 where two guys killed three people right there in Mansfield. And they also killed a total of seven in a week's time in Ohio. And something hit me. I mean, it was really hard. I was obsessed with this. And the next day, I went down to the library and made copies of all the newspaper articles that was about that. I had a stack like you wouldn't believe of the papers of it. I even had to put an index thing on the front of it. But I interviewed one of the members of the family. There was three people killed here in Mansfield, and the son was an Army guy. He was in Chicago. He started coming back here. What's that?
So that you were in Mansfield when you discovered this or heard about this?
Oh yeah, I've been down here for 20 years, and so anyway, I got to talk to him a little bit. But when I started writing, now normally it takes me a year and a half to write a book. I wrote this one in 4 months. I was writing 3,000 to 6,000 words a day. I was obsessed with it. I don't know why. But it's been the most popular book I've ever written. Out of the 15, this one sells twice as much as all the other 14 put together. It's been a big one. And I'm just glad that it got out, to tell you the truth.
So when you start writing a book like this, I guess you were pretty obsessed with it. What was it about this crime, do you think, that made you so involved or feel so involved?
You know, I really can't explain. I don't really understand it because I was obsessed with it so much. And tell you the truth, I wrote another true story about a guy who in 1983 killed, about 14 people in 3 weeks, about five of them here in Ohio. And to tell you the truth, it took me 2 years to write that one because he was a nasty guy shooting people in the ear, to tell you the truth. It's a true story. But this one, I don't know how I got so absorbed with that thing. There was a company that was going to do a movie on it, and they had so many problems. They had it for 2 years, and they eventually had to back out because they had too many problems going on in their lives. And now my agent's got someone else looking at it right now, so hopefully it'll be a movie someday.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things. True crime's a big thing right now, so a lot of stories being told. So when you got involved, so let's review some of the story. So when did this happen, and whereabouts was this? What exact area?
Well, okay, those two got out of prison, the Ohio Reformatory. They'd been in there for 3 or 4 years for some kind of minor crimes or something, and when they got out, the two of them had become friends. And one, to tell you the truth, one's name was Robert Daniels. He was an extremely intelligent person, believe it or not, almost a genius IQ. And his friend was named John West. And John West, IQ didn't even hit 100. So those two were best friends. And when they got out of prison, they wanted to get back on a guy named Red Harris. This Red Harris was a guard at Mansfield Correctional Institute. Red Harris had been really mean to him, and they wanted to get him. So the first thing they did is they went to a bar here in Mansfield, and bottom line is they ran into some problems, and they actually shot one of the bartender in the head, killed him. The two of them got out of there, and like a day later decided to go see if they could find this Red Harris's house. They drove outside of Mansfield about a mile or two out there, and they got on the road where he's supposed to be, but they stopped into the wrong house. The house belonged to the Nibles, and they busted into the place. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. They got into the house and held a gun, and they told him that that Red Harris lived down the road, only two doors down. So they decided, Wes and Daniels decided to tie him up. Well, they looked all over the house and could not find any rope. So they got all three of them, the Nibel family. Mother was Nolana Nibel. Phyllis was the daughter, and John Nibel was the father.
Wasn't he a supervisor of? Was he not the supervisor?
Actually, he did work in the prison.
Okay.
I forget exactly what he did, but they took those three and put them in a car, drove them out to a place called Fleming Falls Road, just a few miles outside of Mansfield. They took them out there and took them into a cornfield. Bottom line, I'll just get right to it. And shot all three of them in the head, killed them out there. Actually, the next day, there was a bunch of Cub Scouts were going down that road. Now, back in those days, corn stalks were split like a foot apart, not like they are today, and you could see down through a cornfield. And this one kid actually saw, and I met this kid. He's not a kid anymore, of course, but I met him. And he said he looked into that cornfield and saw three people laying there on the ground. And unfortunately, those two made those three take off their clothes before they killed them. Now, why, I don't know. He never did say. This kid told the supervisor, and the supervisor sent the kids on down. And he went in there, found that, and called the cops. Now, those two had killed those three and had killed, of course, another one before that, the night before, in the bar. They knew the cops were after them. They decided to get out of Ohio. And they started driving toward Indiana. So they got about halfway over to Indiana, and it was dark and they're running out of gas, and they decide to pull into a roadside park and rest for a few minutes, and they saw a truck, big semi with cars on it, about, you know, normal hauling cars kind of truck. They went over to the truck and saw the driver was asleep in the truck, and they shot him, killed him, pulled him out, and the next morning they took off trying to get into Indiana. So they drove all the way over to a town called Van Wert, Ohio, which is real close to Indiana. And in Van Wert, out in the cornfields, the cops had already put up a blocking thing. They figured they were going to be going that way. They stopped them in that truck and drew guns on them. And the guy wasn't so smart, John West. He was driving, and Robert Daniels was actually sleeping in one of the cars up there. So Wes got out, and he started in a gunfight with all those cops. He shot one of the cops. The cop didn't die, but they end up shooting and killing him. So John West was dead. Robert Daniels heard the stuff, and he tried to hide, and they actually caught him. They found him up there and took him to jail. Now, that was, Van Wert, that was July 22nd, 1948. Back in those days, they didn't mess around on this kind of stuff, and especially Robert Daniels was actually a good-looking guy, and when he went to court here in Mansfield, there was like 1,000 women wanted to see him. That's how good looking he was, and how I can't believe they would do it.
Yeah.
But the trial, he admitted to everything. So the trial didn't last long. And at the end, they found him guilty, and that was July. January 3rd of 1949, he was electrocuted. They didn't mess around.
Well, that's when they did it.
He was gone.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at this, why do you think that they killed the Neville family? If they knew that it wasn't the guy they were looking for, so why did they go through and kill them? And especially the way they did, taking them out to a field and stripping them naked and then shooting them. Like, if it's not the person you're after.
Well, that's a good question. I'll tell you, one thing I found out after all the time they spent trying to find rope to tie their hands and tie them so they couldn't get out, that's what they were worried about, them getting a hold of the police real quick. And so they couldn't find any rope to tie them up. Believe it or not, that's why they killed them, I think. That's the way I was told. But here's the thing. The very next day, that guard, Red Harris,
yes,
he lived real close there, and he came down, believe it or not, and this is the truth, he came down to the Nigel family house to borrow a rope for something he was doing at the house. Can you believe
that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't.
No, I hear that when they were inside the Nigel home, they actually raped that daughter.
I don't know that for a fact. I really don't. Okay. I've done a lot of research on it, and they never brought that up. So it's very possible. I think that's what happened, really. I do. She was just turned 21, too. Her birthday was like a couple days later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't charged with that, were they?
No.
No. Isn't that weird? It's weird that they would do that. Was there a reason they were on this killing rampage? Like, why they killed the bartender? Just because they got into a fight? So did they just decide they were just going to start killing people after that? Or what do you think that was?
Well, the two of them were in that bar, and they started talking, and one of them mentioned about the fact that the one that's not so bright, he's the one that said something about getting a job. We got to earn some money. We're back out in public. And Daniel said, we ain't going to work. He said, we can steal money. That's just as easy as working. And they stole right there when at that bar. They shot that one guy, but they stole some money from the bar. That's the reason he did it. And they figured that's the way they're going to spend the rest of their life. Well, it only lasted 1 week, 7 days. Or actually 6 days, actually.
What does that do to a community like that? That's a smaller community, and it's 1948. That must have really terrified everyone.
You wouldn't believe how bad it was. And tell you the truth, in that particular summer, it was extremely hot in this town. It was over 100 degrees about every day. And we didn't have air conditionings back then. So, and they had to close. Every kid could not go outside. They made them stay in the house. And what they did is they kept the doors locked and the windows shut. So can you imagine a house at 100 degrees with no air conditioning? That's the way it was. Everybody was like that. They were so scared. It was big noise back then. You know, we have a lot of killings going on in this country now. But back in 1948, this was something really rare. No one had ever done this.
Yeah, it's more commonplace now, I think.
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
They call it the Mad Dog Killers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did they call it that? What was that name about?
You got me. I never heard of it. That's a good one. Mad Dog Killers. I did hear that, though.
Yeah. And then I heard that that Robert Daniels, that before he went with his buddy after they got out, Robert Daniels' parents said, don't go out with that John West. And Robert Daniels says, well, he's the smartest guy I know. And isn't that John West? He had the low IQ.
Oh, yeah. I actually read that he had an IQ of 60. Now, wow. That's even lower than mine, so I felt bad for him. You know?
Yeah. Then didn't Robert Daniels also claim that he had a couple like head injuries and spine injuries when he was like 7 years old? So he's trying to blame those for his lack of remorse and his psychopathic behavior. Yes. Or something.
You are right. Yes, he did have that, and they did bring that up in court too. One of the other things he brought up in court, they questioned him on why he took the clothes off of those three before he killed them. And they asked him, "Did you rape her before you killed her?" And he never really did reply. He said no, and that was about it, and they just let it go. But
okay,
that he didn't explain a whole lot about why he took those clothes off those three.
Were the forensics really bad back then, or did they wouldn't be able to tell if she was raped, or was there a reason that they couldn't tell?
I don't think they had forensics back in 48, really. I don't think so. Yeah. And it probably was a lesser minor, considering the fact he shot her in the head, and in the stomach, and then in the head. He shot her twice.
Wow.
Yeah. That was bad.
So, you know, you have to wonder, so what was Daniels with West for? Like, why was there a connection there, you know?
They didn't know each other until they got into prison together, and they became friends in prison. How, I don't know, but they were pretty good friends in prison, and they decided to get together outside when they both got out of there. And they were in Pennsylvania for a while. I forget which one of them lived there, or his parents lived there. And they stayed there for a little while, but then came back to Ohio. But
did their family show up for the trial, or did Daniel's family, or were they involved? How did that happen? Or,
you know, I do not think they were there, because I've seen a picture, a drawing of the courtroom, and there was only a few people there. And believe it or not, the woman who's taking the notes of the trial, you know how there's a stenographer that she writes everything down? Right. I met her too. And she might still be, I'm not sure, but I had breakfast with her, and she was 90 something, and her husband was 100. And the next year, her husband died, and as far as I know, she was still around. But she was there for only like 22 years old, and it was her first job of taking down notes at a trial. So,
wow. When someone reads the book, what do you want them to get out of this? Like, do you have a kind of a thought in mind that you hope people walk away with some sort of feeling or idea after they read the book?
Well, the best thing I can see out of the whole thing is for somebody to see what can happen to you. I mean, you're going to get caught. The chances of you not getting caught are pretty rare. and these two ended up getting shot in the head, and the other one was electrocuted. And I really went into details on him getting electrocuted, too, so that they can see what can happen if you break the law in such a manner as that. These two deserved to die, and that's what happened to him. I just thought it was good for him.
Yeah. Do you think that the death penalty, then, is something that should be in place? Do you think it actually deters people or not?
I think so. I don't think they do it as much anymore. People can spend a life in prison now, so a chance of getting electrocuted is pretty rare anymore, seems like, unless I just don't know about it. I don't know.
No, most of the courts in states overturn death penalty cases, and people end up with life, you know, and especially if it's a female killer, it just doesn't happen. So,
if you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they end up spending time in prison getting groceries and everything for free. That's a, So, TV, I don't know. Computer. It just seems like... I think they would be a little bit deferred from such a thing if they were electrocuted.
One intriguing thing that I think is, to me, is let's say John West was just a follower since he was kind of low on the IQ, and Robert Daniels was kind of the leader, that here is a person that they were talking about his complete lack of remorse, yet when you look at the history, I guess he was saying that his parents were fighting all the time, something to that effect. But how did he switch from being a robber straight to a killer? And and then it's kind of an intriguing thing how this killing spree began, as in once they finally killed that I think they killed the Ambrose Tavern. The Ambrose, they killed him first, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then once they did it, and then here it is, John West was the gun nut, and so they just started doing it. It's like, to me, is a quite the leap becoming. Let's say they're going to survive instead of working, they're going to rob people or rob places.
Yeah.
And then to kill. What a big jump, a big leap.
Yes, it is. You're right. It's hard to imagine why that happened, and it was one of the biggest things going on in the United States back in 1948. And I can understand now why, after all that I've read and so forth about it. But these two are, let's put it easy, these two are crazy. As simple as that.
Yeah. Well,
to be doing something like that.
Was it? What was the community like? Was it a poor community, and were things rough?
Back in those days, yes, it was a little bit. Most everybody was farmers or in Mansfield area, there was a lot of financial problems, of course. But and then we also had downtown Mansfield, or at least close to. There was a lot of factories, big time factories. So there was a lot of jobs there to get if you were interested. But these two, I don't think they wanted to work at all, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty clear they didn't.
Well, that was only 3 years after the war ended, so that's why I was asking what the economy and things were like.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's crazy. So, did it act? Do you think it actually changed the area? This killing. This killing, you said, made national media, so people throughout the country knew about it.
Yes.
So, did it really kind of freak people out? Do you think?
Well, yeah. Like I say, the fact that the people wouldn't go out of the houses, they wouldn't even go and get some groceries. It was a burden for them because they didn't want to get outside of the house. And people who had guns in their house made sure that they were available. I remember also that there was a meeting, a woman's meeting that happened most all the time. And they decided not to even meet for that meeting because of what was going on. There was an incredible thing happening in Ohio, especially here in Mansfield, because Mansfield's kind of a boring town. That's why I live here. I'm boring myself. And
did you still have party lines for phones? Or?
Yeah, well.
It's funny. I say that, and I know young people won't have a clue what that party line is.
Party line, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's crazy. Now everybody has a phone on them.
Well, the bad thing for me was every time I wanted to get on the phone, on the party line, there was always somebody else on it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do anything to get them off, if you catch my drift. So.
Pretend like you're listening. Then they don't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know, one thing I got to tell you is that when I was going to go to college, turned down the Detroit Tigers. Anyway, I was getting ready to leave, and the day before I left, my mother, who was an extremely good writer, but she never tried to get published. I inherited it from her. She was an extremely good writer. She wrote a lot of little short stories, stuff like that. And before I left, she left me with I don't know what you call it, but it was a 5-page note for me, a letter to me. And I still have it, believe it or not, after all these years. But that 5 thing told about our life together and how she was supposed to get dinner ready for Thanksgiving the next day, and I wanted to go fishing, and she would take me out to the river and stay with me while I fished. She did a lot of things for me. And I always thought she died early in life. She's only 63. And I always thought I would love to get her published. Well, the very first novel I had come out was called Summer Harvest. And believe it or not, I managed to get her letter to me incorporated into that book, so she got published. I just felt good about it, that's all.
Wow.
So that was 2004 that got published?
Yeah, I think it was. 2004. Okay. How'd you know that?
He's a research
man.
I'm a research guy.
he's
I was just so grateful to get her published. That's all.
Oh, that's nice.
An excellent writer.
That's fantastic. Do you plan on what kind of, like, so going from your story with your mother and your life to the killings, do you plan to get into writing more killing books, or like kind of what's your history with that? Do you want to write more true crime?
Well, there's that one, the true story, and then I told you about the Killing Road. The guy killed 13 people in 3 weeks.
Right.
Did I tell you about that?
Yes,
a little bit.
That was nasty. I had a time writing that because it took me 2 years to write because he was such a nasty guy, shooting people in the ear. Oh, for crying out. I mean, he was horrible. But that's the only two that I ever wrote. Like,
why was the guy shooting people in the ear?
He just went ballistic. He married a woman here in Ohio. They lived over in Los Angeles. They moved over here to Ohio. And they were together for several months, and finally something snapped in his head, and that his wife's brother came into his house, and this guy shot the brother. And from then on, he left and just started killing people.
Wow.
4 or 5 here in Ohio, he went down to Georgia. He even went to Florida. He killed 5 down in Florida and finally just gave in his gun. And he got electrocuted eventually. 1983, I think it was. But that was enough of that stuff. I just can't handle that stuff anymore. And I've been writing, most of my books are, the latest one I've had published was called Against the Wind, and there was a guy named Don Fauntleroy over in Hollywood who's making a movie out of that one, Against the Wind. It's more of a religious kind of story, and he's going to try to have it done so it'll be a Christmas story here at the end of this year. I hope it does.
Speaking of movies, isn't the Mansfield Killing doing it? Isn't that going to be a movie?
My agent's working on somebody to do it. Like I say, it got turned down by a company. A company couldn't do it anymore. They had to back out of it, and so she's finding somebody else to. Make a movie out of it. I just want to go see a movie.
Yeah, writing true crime really kind of affects you, doesn't it? Like when you come out of it after a book, it kind of it makes you feel more negative toward other people, or.
Oh, no, not really. In fact, I appreciate my friends after reading about some of these people. And I've only written two of these, and my best one that I think I enjoyed was Against the Wind. It's a kind of a religious thing, and it's very positive in my book. A very good. I shouldn't say that. That sounds like someone bragging on his stuff, but that's my favorite. Can I say that's my favorite?
There's things that's how it is as a writer. You'll come out with certain ones that are your favorite for personal reasons, right? And
Summer Harvest. That was a big one when I first came out. Summer Harvest came out back, like you said, quite a long time ago, and that thing was selling 3,000 to 4,000 copies a week. It was big.
Wow.
But that was a long time ago, so it's not as good anymore.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like me.
It's all good. It's all good.
When you get old.
You get old. Yeah, that's Mike. So do you have a website or something that you set up for people to follow you, or do you not do any of that social stuff?
I used to do that stuff a long time ago, and I've kind of gotten away from it. I used to do book signings all over the state of Ohio, and I just backed off of it for some reason. I don't know. I'm kind of getting away from it. In fact, I started a book about a year and a half ago, got half done, and stopped writing. And just recently, I'm thinking about trying to finish because I really liked it. And so I reread the first half of it just a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to think about getting it done, because something that's always bothered me is kids with cancer. That's always bothered me. And I'm doing a book with that, and a guy fall in love with a woman, and he's actually, believe it or not, this guy is a former mafia killer, and he becomes a preacher. Imagine that. That's a good one. Anyway, but he's doing whatever he can to help her and so forth. And I got to finish it. Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, you got time. Well, anyway, I mean, you got time now, I'm sure, with the virus thing going around. Not a lot of people are staying home. So
you got that right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the gladness is over.
Well, yeah, don't you think there'd be a good movie coming out? Oh, you don't like to do serial killer stuff, but there'd be a perfect serial killer something like that, Al. So we got to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's worried me is the fact that that one guy's doing Against the Wind. He started this a couple months ago, and I don't know whether there's no movies anymore coming out. I don't know. But I don't write him. I don't want to bother him. So I just hope he's still at it.
Well, it could just be in on hold for a while. Like some of them will wait a couple of months and do other things, right? And that. So it's a process, and I think everyone's sort of on hold in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody really knows what's going to happen. So it just kind of just give it a couple of months and see where it goes. But
Well, I like writing. It's something that keeps me busy. And to tell you the truth, after our 15 novels, I believe it or not, I actually have 3 half-finished novels. Now, Fields, why don't you finish them before you do anything? And I've only had one other idea in my head after all these years. I used to have 4 or 5 ideas in my head. Now I only got one. It's been there for, I'll bet you, 10 years. So I don't know if I'll write it or not. I don't know. See what happens. Yeah.
That's kind of like Mike. He's only had one idea in his head for
hey, I've gone far with that idea, though.
Quite a while, and it just doesn't change. So, it's okay.
I'm simple.
Very, very basic, and be proud. That's all that matters.
But the one thing is I'm proud of on the Mansfield. This isn't bragging. I just wanted to tell you, I've had I don't know how many people, hundreds of people, tell me that they start reading that novel and they can't finish it. They'll stay up all night trying to get the thing finished. Now, I've had a guy tell me it was late at night and he decided to put it down and he got in bed and had to get back up to read some more of it.
That's
so
great.
That made me feel good. It really did make me feel good, because I was proud of that thing, and I would love to see a movie on that thing. I just would.
Yeah. Well, it's good when you make connections with people, when you write something and they actually, it really, really connects. That's probably the most rewarding part of it.
You're right. Rewarding. That's exactly the word. I feel good about it. And you spend a year and a half writing a book, you just hope that people like it. It's not that I care about the money. I just want to see if people like the thing. And to tell you the truth, on the Mansfield Killings, I looked at the I made the mistake of reading the reviews on it one time, and there was a couple of them. There was one guy I put a review on the Mansfield Killings, and he put some stuff that was fictitious. It was not true. Making bad remarks about the book, and I thought, Fields, don't read those reviews anymore.
That's kind of how reviews work. And when you first start looking at them, it can be painful, because your intention is not to upset people or to get things wrong. Or anything. I know.
Yes, you're right. Exactly right.
After a while, you get kind of tough as nails, because people will say all sorts of things about you that are not true, and about the story, and
what can you do, right?
Yep, that's true. You're right.
You know, it's kind of that kind of a world where the reviews can come out and there's really no protection for you, in a sense.
No.
So, I mean, I get accused of all sorts of things, so I still work for the government and all that sort of stuff. You get all sorts of stuff, so it's just it's crazy. You know,
I had a book review that the person was promoting his book, and that was the only reason. So he gave me a low grade and started promoting his Jack the Ripper book. And so I complained to Amazon.com about that, and they still haven't taken it off. So, well. Using my book for sales on his book, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can't win. A lot of people have access to say things, and what can you do? You know, so.
Well, one of the things after that book came out, where those three were killed out in that cornfield is on Fleming Falls Road out in the country. And there was an unbelievable amount of people out there. And going by the where that you could tell where they were killed. But the other thing was the Nibel house. In fact, in the book, there's pictures of the Nibel house today and back in 48. And that Nibel house where those three were killed, that thing had traffic jams all the time around the house. There was cars parked everywhere. And they finally had to get cops out there on that because of the problem. Well, believe it or not, just a couple weeks ago, they tore that house down. So no longer are they being out there on that.
I wonder if it was haunted.
Oh, good question. I didn't even think about that. Oh, yeah. Let me rewrite that book. I'll put that in there.
That's right.
There you go. We've got it figured out. Update. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic. Well, you know, we will have your book listed on a website. People that listen in and can just do one click and pick up the book. It's
fascinating,
and we recommend it for anybody. So now the book is called The Mansfield Killings, and the author has been our guest, Scott Fields. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on there. I'm glad to talk to you guys about this.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Has been completed.
The end! By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll tell you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.